Well, it's kind of interesting stuff going on out there. The Lord certainly has answered prayers, one right after another. But still, there is a possibility of a false flag event of some sort. And martial law. And so, anyway, keep on praying, saints. And we'll see what God will do. But most of all, and most important, is that we be found in Him. And I want to share this revelation with you. We called it Climbing and Entering the Rock Mountain. And this was given to Pamela Orr in late winter or early spring of 2015. And let me share with you her introduction here, and then we'll start on it. She said, I'm typing this dream from memory, but that's not a problem because it was very, very memorable experience. When I originally gave this dream and testimony, I used index cards that I did not file. I remember some of the verses the Father gave me at that time, but not all of them. Please note that others who have had similar dreams were not present at this meeting or privy to hearing this dream. In other words, all of these climbing and entering the rock dreams were independently given by the Father. And when I talked to the brethren that night in the basement gathering, place at a house that we've now vacated, I emphasized the part of the dream about being above it all, that He raised us up with Him and made us to sit with Him in the heavenly places in Christ Jesus, Ephesians 2 and 6, and that we are far above all rule and authority and power and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this world, but also in that which is to come, Ephesians 1 and 21. I emphasize that part for two reasons. Firstly, we were heavily coming against the chemtrail threat at that time. And secondly, the part about entering the rock was very difficult to describe, so I gave it less emphasis than it merited. But here's the dream. I was climbing a rock that was also a mountain. Well, we understand that. Jesus is the rock, and the mountain or kingdom of God is who He is and what He is, and we must abide in that, right? Jesus is Mount Zion, as He spoke to a wonderful apostle friend of mine years ago. He said, I am Mount Zion, and, of course, into which the bride will enter and be one with Him. On Mount Zion is the presence of God, the man-child David, and the bride. And climbing represents coming closer and closer to this goal by overcoming obstacles and hindrances to the Word in us. Climbing a mountain is in many cases considered a place of safety. And so it is in this case. Pam said the ledge was narrow and close. And Matthew 7 and 14 says, For narrow is the gate, and straitened the way that leads unto life, and few are they that find it. So we know that the way is as narrow as the word restrains our actions. This is why it's called narrow, is because the word restrains our actions, or should. Those whose actions are not conformed to the Word are not climbing this mountain, because this is the test. Many are called. Let me say that called or invited in the Scriptures are always the saved people, so-called, who saved us and called us. So you're saved, and then you get this calling, which is an invitation, kaleo means invitation, to partake of the benefits of the kingdom. All don't do that, because Jesus gave a couple of parables like that where people were just too caught up with the things of the world to partake of this. But he that endureth to the end shall be saved. We have to endure this climb, for one thing. And Pam said there was one place that I had just come from that had lots of pebbles, like loose debris. I could hear pebbles skittering off the edge and echoing like they were going down almost forever. And I felt my heart kind of skip a beat. Well, these are the hazards that people have to overcome. Of course, they're spiritual hazards, not physical hazards, but I've known people who were climbing this mountain through faith, but stumbled at the rock, being disobedient, and fell away. Romans 9 and 30 says, "What shall we say then, that the Gentiles who followed not after righteousness attained to righteousness, even the righteousness which is of faith? But Israel, following after a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Wherefore? Because they sought it not by faith, but as it were by works. They stumbled at the stone of stumbling. Even as it is written, Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he is the Word. And he that believeth on him shall not be put to shame." And John 6 and 28 says, "They said therefore unto him, What must we do that we may work the works of God? And Jesus answered and said unto them, This is the work of God, that you believe on him whom he has sent." And of course, he was sent to be our sacrifice, our propitiation, etc. Ephesians 2 and 8, "For by grace have you been saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It's a gift of God." So easily does the devil distract us from the point of walking by faith and believing we've received something we don't yet see. This is where the power comes from. That's why everybody, that means many of the called, will not make it, because they keep getting distracted, getting their eyes on situations and people and themselves and off of what God said in His Word. And they don't study the Word, so they don't really build up their heart in the faith. Faith cometh of hearing, and hearing by the Word. So, by grace have you been saved through faith, and not of yourselves. It's a gift of God, not of works, that no man should glory. As we know, condemnation is generally the devil's way of bringing us under law to our own works, which brings no faith or fruit. God's way is repent and believe, and he will give you grace to climb the mountain. Okay, back to Pam. She said, I thought briefly about turning back, but it seemed like a bad idea. Hebrews 10:38, "But my righteous one shall live by faith, and if he shrink back, my soul has no pleasure in him. But we are not of them that shrink back unto perdition." See, what is back is perdition. What we're coming out of when we climb the mountain is perdition or destruction, right? "But of them that have faith unto the saving of the soul." Unto the saving of the soul. Your spirit is saved when you're first born again, and your soul is being saved as you walk in obedience to the truth, as Peter said. And a lot of people don't know that. They've accepted people that have never really studied the Word for themselves. They're only passing on the very simple, simplistic ways of backslidden religion. Pam said, "When I arrived at what seemed to be nearly the peak, I rested my back on the mountain while my face looked skyward. I was so high that I was above the clouds." Well, climbing Zion represents the height of obedience, which is also the height of sanctification and safety. Psalm 125 and 1 says, a song of ascents. And of course, we are ascending, you know, if we are walking in obedience to the Word by faith, right? They that trust in the Lord are as Mount Zion. There you go. That's the main thing about climbing Mount Zion, which cannot be moved, but abideth forever. As the mountains are round about Jerusalem, so the Lord is round about His people from this time forth and forevermore. For the scepter of wickedness shall not rest upon the lot of the righteous. So walking by faith, climbing God's mountain, the scepter of wickedness, the authority of wickedness, will not rest upon these people. So that the righteous put not forth their hands unto iniquity. Do good, O Lord, unto those that are good, and to them that are upright in their hearts. But as for such as turn aside unto their crooked ways, the Lord will lead them forth with the workers of iniquity. Peace be upon Israel. Psalm 15 and 1, a psalm of David. Lord, who shall sojourn in thy tabernacle? Who shall dwell in thy holy hill? He that walketh uprightly, and worketh righteousness, and speaketh truth in his heart. He that slandereth not with his tongue, nor doeth evil to his friend, nor taketh up a reproach against his neighbor. Oh boy, that's a big deal nowadays. In whose eyes a reprobate is despised, but who honoreth them that fear the Lord. He that sweareth to his own hurt and changeth not. He that putteth not out his money to interest, nor taketh reward against the innocent. He that doeth these things shall never be moved. Psalm 24 and 3. Who shall ascend into the hill of the Lord? Who shall stand in his holy place? He that hath clean hands and a pure heart, who hath not lifted up his soul unto falsehood, and hath not sworn deceitfully. Many do lift up their soul to falsehood. They see it as an advantage, so they just believe what they want to believe. Verse 5. He shall receive a blessing from the Lord, and righteousness from the God of his salvation. This is the generation of them that seek after him. Obviously, climbing this mountain is to seek after the Lord who is at the top, as it was with Moses, right? That seek thy face, even Jacob, Selah. Well, considering the many threats and temptations and obstacles that are ahead, we need to abide in Christ, the secret place of the Most High. He is our place of safety. And that's not a hard thing to do. Repent and believe, and begin to be a disciple of Jesus Christ and of the Word of God and not religion. And 1 John 2:24 says, as for you, let that abide in you which you heard from the beginning. In other words, the original word, not somebody else's additions to the or subtractions to the original word, but the original word, that which you heard from the beginning. If that which you heard from the beginning abide in you, you also shall abide in the Son and in the Father. 2 John 1:9. Whosoever goeth onward and abideth not in the teaching of Christ hath not God. He that abideth in the teaching, the same hath both the Father and the Son. So, Jesus is Zion. He is the secret place of the Most High. He is the place of safety, the place of dominion over your flesh and dominion over the devil. And judgment is at the door. Repent of sin against the Word and believe. Pam went on to say, I never even saw any ground. It was all rock and sky. So she was up above the clouds, right? Well, not seeing the earth I believe, represents that worldly temptations are left behind and we are crucified with Christ. Pam said, I remember thinking, nothing can affect me here. Wow, that's so true. You know, as you overcome this geometric progression, you come to the place where it just doesn't affect you. Galatians 2:20, for I have been crucified with Christ, and it's no longer I that live, but Christ living in me. And that life which I live in the flesh, I live in faith, the faith which is in the Son of God, who loved me and gave himself for me. And Galatians 5:24, and they that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. You hear that? They that are of Christ Jesus have crucified the flesh with the passions and the lusts thereof. When you talk about somebody is of God or not of God, well, there you go. He tells you exactly how to know that. And Pam said again, this was the part that I tried most to communicate to the brethren that night. I was in heavenly places, and far above all rule and authority and power, as the word says. But then the twilight zone part happened. I felt the urge to turn and sort of fall into or embrace the rock face. Matthew 21:43, therefore I say unto you, the kingdom of God shall be given to a nation bringing forth the fruits thereof. And he that falleth on this stone shall be broken in pieces. That's the old life being broken away, like the chaff. I extended my arms out as I turned 180 degrees as if I were going to hug something really huge. And this was when it was as if the rock absorbed me. The ultimate end of climbing is sanctification by the Word. It's to be one with God and to be one with our brethren who are in God. Right? She said it was something like one of those old movies where a wall somehow opens up to reveal a secret door, and then, in the blink of an eye, the door and the person disappears. In the movies, they've gone somewhere mysterious, and this is kind of like what happened. When this occurred, I thought, why do I want to go into this rock? My natural mind wanted to tell me that it would be dark and uncomfortable. But that's what I wanted, and that was what happened. I embraced the rock, and it was as if a secret chasm or door cracked open to take me in. John 10:9, I am the door. By me, if any man enter in, he shall be saved, and shall go in and go out, and shall find pasture. And Matthew 10:39 says, he that findeth his life shall lose it. He that loseth his life for my sake shall find it. And he was talking to his disciples. It behooves us to find out what the Scripture says and apply it to ourselves. All right. John 12:25, he that loveth his life loseth it, and he that hateth his life in this world shall keep it unto life eternal. Amen. People who love the world don't want to depart from that flat ground down there. They don't want to take the chance of climbing higher, being conspicuous in front of others, departing from the ways of the world, the ways of religion. They're afraid to do that. So Pam says her final thought and prayer is this. The night that I gave this dream or testimony, I tried to demonstrate the last part of our part to our group, failing miserably in the attempt to demonstrate a rock mountain absorbing a person. And in our natural minds, this seemed like a nightmare, or a B-rated movie. But in the dream, it felt perfect and right. And why is that? Because this path brings us to the joy and the peace of a cleansed conscience. It brings us to serve God because of love of Him rather than just fear of Him, which is the beginning of wisdom, but not the end of wisdom. And Pam offers this prayer. Father, thank you for giving this dream to us and helping us to understand what you're saying. Your Son is perfect and right. And we thank you for our being in Him. From Isaiah, I am reminded of a favorite rock passage, Isaiah 50:7 through 10. For the Lord will help me, therefore have I not been confounded. Therefore have I set my face like a flint, and I know that I shall not be put to shame. He is near that justifieth me. Who will contend with me? Let us stand up together. Who is mine adversary? Let him come near to me. Behold, the Lord will help me. Who is he that shall condemn me? Behold, all they that wax old as a garment, the moth shall eat them up. Who is among you that feareth the Lord, that obeyeth the voice of his servant? He that walketh in darkness and hath no light, let him trust in the name of the Lord and rely upon his God. Thank you that Jesus is our rock and that we will never be put to shame because we are in him. We can turn our faces like flint and never look back. And also, Job 13:15, behold, he will slay me. I have no hope. Nevertheless, I will maintain my ways before him. That's actually what slays you right there. Thank you, Father. We no longer live, but Christ the rock lives in us. Well, amen. How awesome. Good news. And I'm going to share another one with you that's very similar about the three different types of people and their path concerning the rock. We called this, it was back in 2007, we called it 30, 60, and 100-fold paths. And it all had to do with the rock or entering into the rock. Okay? And this was given us by Anonymous. A person I know very well, but they chose to be anonymous. I saw three different groups of believers, and my belief is that this is star glory, 30-fold, moon glory, 60-fold, and sun glory, 100-fold. And we had to decide which pathway we all wanted to take. There was a very huge boulder or rock, like what you see in a mountain. And I believe this is representing Jesus and the kingdom of God. There were three pathways to choose from to go to the other side. The first was to take a pathway around the rock. That doesn't sound good, does it? Which looked fairly flat on level, sandy ground. This pathway looked off-white, exactly like the sand you see on a beach. Well, my thoughts are that the easy way on the flesh is not the crucified life and may not bear fruit beyond 30-fold or star glory. It is from this place that many will fall away. The stars are what fall to the earth, a third of the stars of heaven, right? So, this may represent the born again in spirit, but not completely crucified in the soul life. Many avoid fiery trials that burn up the flesh, but not walking in the steps of Jesus. The garment for such an individual, if they did not fall away, would be off-white, reflecting their works. To many, the rock is too great to hope to walk on. reflecting their immature understanding of the gospel and God's plan of recreating Christ in us. These choose the unstable, impure, off-white sand of man's traditions on which to stand. And if not granted repentance, one day they will know that, and it'll be a sad situation. Reading the Bible for yourself is the most important thing. Not going to church, reading the Bible for yourself. The second path was to climb up that rock. The steps were carved out of the rock, and it was a steep and a high climb, kind of like Pam's. And I believe this represents walking in the steps already set in stone by the Word, which is also standing on the rock of Christ's Word. This will bear more fruit, even to 60-fold, or moon glory. But something important is not emphasized on this path, even. So, she goes on to say, the third path was to enter into a very narrow opening in that rock and walk down steep steps also carved out of the rock. Well, this is also standing on the rock in the steps of the Word. It suggests more the abiding in the cleft of the rock of safety by entering into Christ's suffering through death to self. Spiritually, it's beneath the earth, right? Which is death. And through this method, we can transverse the fullness of moon glory and enter a hundredfold or sun glory or Christlikeness. But, as she goes on to say, we were all inside that rock looking at these three paths and deciding which pathway to take. This place had grass and trees and was flourishing and was not barren. The pathway into the rock was directly in front of us. The pathway climbing the rock was to my left. From the rock's perspective, it would have been my right. And of course, we know that those who walk more as sheep are on Jesus' right. Okay. And the pathway going around the rock was to my right. From the rock's perspective, it would have been left. Those who walk more as goats on Jesus' left, right? Both these were detours to the straight pathway into the rock, meaning this straight pathway is God's perfect will, His chosen path, and which few will find, as Jesus said. We could view all believers taking the different pathways. The vast majority turned to my right, the rock's left. And of course, that is true. The overwhelming majority of Christianity knows nothing about this climbing of the rock or the mountain or entering into it. They have picked a few verses that make them feel comfortable, and they spout those verses, and they have a very simplistic idea about what salvation's all about. They believe they've already manifested salvation, so they're not looking for walking by faith in something they don't see with their eyes. They believe that first experience of receiving a born-again spirit is all there is to it, but they're not bearing fruit in their soul to a large part. And this is terrible, because it's these star glories that do the falling away. A third of the stars of heaven fall to the earth, because they really don't know the plan of God. They're not cooperating with God in the plan of God. They're not cooperating to bear fruit. And this is where most of them go. Many are the called, but few are the chosen. And of course, what you choose when you go out into the field is the fruit, not the plant. They think the plant's important. But the plant is not important. You must lose your life to gain your higher life. Right? That way seemed bright and flat and sure, which could be easily negotiated. And we know that there is a way that seemeth right unto a man, but is really left unto God. Many are comfortable with the worldly Christian life, where discipleship is considered unobtainable and something that has passed away. Sad, huh? But I'm not discouraged. I've worked hard for about 45 years or so, and I believe we're about to have a great revival, and the truth is going to be very sought after because of the things that are coming upon the world, because it's the truth that sets you free, and people will want to be set free. Most people think they are set free nowadays in peace and prosperity. They think this is the Christian life, but they're not denying themselves and taking up their cross, and quite often not finding it important to read the Word and obey the Word. They think their preacher was hired to do that and just tell them what to do. And that's been a sad mistake. That's the Nicolaitan error that God said He hated. Right? There were some turning to my left to climb the rock. Again, it was bright, and the steps seemed visibly carved out from the rock, though the ascent was very steep, and the height was frightening. Well, I believe that this represents the life of faith without the emphasis of the crucified life, because there's a lot of that out there. Your faith should be to humble yourself, as the straight path is going to prove, to the Word of God. You can have a lot of faith and live a very prosperous life, but if you don't live the crucified life, you're not losing your life to gain your life. And as we lose our old life, we're gaining our higher life. Okay? And then she said, however, the pathway into the rock was not as visible as the pathway outside. People who want to walk by sight, right? It seemed the scariest. And that's because it represents self being swallowed up by the life of Christ through death to the old man and walking by faith. She said, I saw one believer from my church, wearing white, calling me to follow her. Most took the pathway around the rock, whilst there were very few people who climbed on the top of the rock or went into the rock. Well, it's always a few who take the best paths, even though they're not the smoothest on the flesh. They're the best paths. The believer from my church started climbing the rock. I did not follow her, but went into the rock, like Pam. We cannot follow others' individual path or that of churches. We're called to be disciples of Christ, which means a learner and a follower of Christ. Not a follower of a religion, a follower of Christ. And Christ is the Word made flesh. And God has a scriptural plan for each one of us, but it's not the same plan. I mean, scripturally so, as far as sanctification, it's the same plan. But what He has a plan for your life, to what you are to be and what you are to do, is peculiar to you. It's not cookie-cutter Christians, right? We've got to look like the pastor. No, no. She went on to say, one could not see the steps before you. You had to descend by faith. But as you descended, it got easier. And I remember thinking that from the outside, it looked like a difficult, narrow, dark, and unknown pathway. But when you walk by faith, God's grace is sufficient to hold your footing in the steep descent. This descent I would consider humbling yourself. She said, I felt tremendous confidence and joy whilst going on my journey. It was not scary. And I would say the more we die, the easier life becomes because we have more of Christ and less of us. And people can't imagine that you can go down that path till you come to the place where there's all of Christ and none of you. That's the whole point. Christ in you, the hope of glory, 30, 60, and 100-fold. And it is a place of peace. What really causes people trouble is the you part, right? The flesh, you. This is what causes people all the trouble, brings all of the curse, brings all of the division. It's the you part. And the more you go down this path, there's less of you, less to cause other people to stumble, a great light for other people to follow, and it becomes easier and easier the more you go. The devil says, no, no, it'll be hard, it's scary, it's a no. No, it's not. It's easier the more you go. And the more comfortable you are with the crucified life. Some people won't touch the crucified life. Or their demons don't dare go there. A person who has demons in them, these sabotage them along this path. They are an enemy. They are a Judas within that tries to get them off the path continually. But the Lord delivered us out of the power of darkness, and we need to know that and act upon that. She said, this path was not taken by most people, and the dream ended here. Well, the two paths, to the right of the Rock Mountain and into the Rock Mountain, both point out scriptural needs in our life, and paths in which the most glorious are going to major in. The easy path, a star glory, is the one and the greatest, falling away, and many will fall away from that. A third of the stars of heaven, Revelation 6 and 13. And the stars of the heaven fell unto the earth, as a fig tree casts her unripe figs when she's shaken of a great wind. And of course, the dragon's tail. And we're told in Isaiah that the prophet that speaketh lies is the tail. The dragon's tail is what casts a third of the stars of the earth to the earth. And people don't know their enemy. How are they going to know to watch out? We know who the dragon is, the seven heads and the ten horns. He's the whole world outside of Christ. The world is at the bottom of that mountain. It's looking back. It's looking back to your old ways, going forward, up the mountain. That's sanctification. That's holiness. That's righteousness. That's more of Christ and less of you. And, of course, when I shared this interpretation with Anonymous, she had just received this confirmation from the Lord. She said, I, too, was told that this is the 30-fold pathway where a lot of people will fall. This is true. We were taken by Christ in order to reach for the prize of the high calling of God in Christ Jesus. And when we seek out that path, it's important to us to be pleasing unto Him. It's because of love that we follow after Him. It may have been because of fear that we began this path. It is the beginning of wisdom. But more and more, as we are replaced with the life of Christ, and replaced is an action on your part, when you turn away from sin and away from the flesh, and you obey what you know the Bible says, you obtain more of Christ and less of you. The next time, it'll be easier. And the next time, it'll be easier. Not that you're always dwelling on the same trial. It may be a harder trial, but the same thing will be easier. And so God takes the little things. Finally, ultimately, the closer you get to the top, God takes the little things and He magnifies them. And you begin to see them the way He sees them, which is exceedingly sinful. When you're in the world, you think, oh, that's not bad. Everybody does that. That's not a big thing. But the closer you get to the top, the more the little things are magnified in your eyes, because you want more of God and less of you. And so people who love the Lord are going to run after Him. They'll go to the scary places for the flesh. The flesh doesn't like to go into dark places. The flesh doesn't like to go where it can't see and predict the outcome. We know what the outcome is when we walk by faith, because we see the end from the beginning. And it takes all fear away from us. And by the time you reach the top of the mountain, those things don't bother you anymore. Don't waste any time. Don't waste any time in the 30-fold star glory category. The moon, of course, is dead. And we want to go from having our own glory, the glory of the old man, through this death stage, 60-fold, and on to the sun glory, 100-fold. We want to continue to travel up this mountain. Remember that purity and that perfection is at the top. This is what Christ died for. The high calling of God in Christ. Not just one of the crowd. Sheep are dumb animals. You know, they need a shepherd to guide them. And our shepherd, our faithful shepherd, the Lord Jesus, who is the Word of God, will guide us. There's nobody who reads the Word of God and is open to everything that is there that's going to stay long in dead religion, because they're in the 30-fold crowd or less. Many of them are less. And, of course, only the 30, 60, and 100 enter the kingdom. But some of them are even less. And a little leaven leavens the whole lump. God wants you to get off the milk and on to the meat, so He keeps pushing you forward. You know, He puts in front of you something that He wants you to overcome. Because without overcoming that thing He's got in front of your face now, you can't go on to the higher things. We walk in the light as He is in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus cleanses us of all unrighteousness. All unrighteousness. This is what God says. Don't believe the liars. They don't want to go there. They've plateaued in their walk with God, and they don't want to go any further. They're comfortable living after the flesh. They don't want to lose their flesh. They don't want to hear the crucified life. They call it works. Well, it is. It's God's works. When we walk by faith, God works in us to will and to do of His good pleasure. And faith without works is dead. If a person says that they know God, they're going to be walking in His steps. That's what the Lord said. Everybody that says they abide in Him, let them walk as He walked. And if you're not abiding in Him, there is no salvation. Salvation is in Christ. Holiness, righteousness, all is in Christ. He's blessed us with every spiritual blessing in heavenly places in Christ. This is what the rock represents, Christ. Enter into the rock. He is the rock of our salvation. He endures the things of the world, time. Rocks are still here, and nothing has taken them away. And our rock is eternal. And if we enter into Him, we will be eternal. And Father, we just ask You, Lord, to have mercy upon Your people and deliver them from the easy path that the preachers have laid down for themselves. They can't guide through the rock or into the rock because they've never been there. So they can't guide there. Lord, open the eyes of your people who are scattered among the broad reaches of Christianity, as it's called. Lord, open the eyes. Let people see there is a greater place for us to go to. You have provided us with a high calling of God in Christ Jesus. You tell us to behold in a mirror the glory of the Lord, and we will be transformed into that same image from glory to glory as from the Lord the Spirit. And that is star glory to moon glory to sun glory into the same image. Our sun represents the sun. And that glory has been provided for every Christian who will not get their eyes on the lower places of the earth, but set their eyes on heavenly places in Christ. In Christ. So, Lord, we put our faith in you. We see the end from the beginning. We ask, Lord, that you hasten our step, that we have endurance, that we have desire, that we want to be among the hundredfold saints. That, like David, who said, I will not be satisfied until I awake in thy likeness. Lord, too many of your people are satisfied with the lower life, the earthly life. They don't see the mountain. They don't see it as something positive. They see it as something dangerous, and they fight against those who try to tell them, this is a mountain that we're supposed to climb. His presence is at the top. And they fight against it. They feel like their only safety is in their dead religion because they don't want to lose their life. And if demanded, they would be scratching and clawing at the floor all the way. Lord, we just ask you, Father, in Jesus' name, there's no safety down there. The beast tramples people down there. Lord, we ask for your grace. We ask for revival. We ask that your people suddenly have an interest to read your word, like I did when I was raised a Catholic, but cared nothing for it. Challenged to read the Bible, I read the Bible, and I saw how much I'd been lied to and sold short. It was just religious works is all it was. Foolish symbolism. And I was missing out on the real thing, the Word of God. Lord, bring the religious institutions down, as you said you're going to do in your word. Bring them down so people can see that there is no holiness in this thing. It's reprobation. It's a falling away. Father, we ask you in Jesus' name to let your light shine. Lord, you told us you were coming. No, not in the air. You're coming as an epiphany, shining forth from your people. They will be a witness unto you because of the power of the Holy Spirit. They will be a witness unto you exactly like Jesus was a witness unto you, and his disciples were witnesses unto you. Lord, send your witnesses. Lord, move mightily among your people who are wasting their time with fruitless things of the world that have no eternal value whatsoever. Lord, give your people a love for the Word of God, because when they love the Word of God, they will not get stuck in dead religions. Thank you, Father. Let's let everyone, Lord, outgrow the playpens and go on with you. Outgrow the milk for the meat and go on with you. Manifest your glory. Lord, we praise you. We thank you for this mighty work and mighty promise. Lord, you give dreams in order to encourage people to reach for the high calling. You give dreams to encourage people to leave behind the worldly and the things of the world that are not eternal. Lord, you tell us that we're running a race against time. We've been given so much time to bear this fruit. And after that, we have what we have. And obviously, eternity as a hundredfold Christian is a much higher life than eternity as a 30-fold Christian. Much more authority, much more power, as your word definitely teaches. But they said all rewards are the same. Doing that in order to do away with any motivation to reach higher. Lord, we praise you for your mercy towards us in drawing us unto you. We know it's not by works of man. It is by your grace. But Lord, we believe that Jesus took away our sins. He delivered us from the sinful life. He delivered us from the old life. And we see that from the beginning. And that is faith, that he delivered us. We don't have to walk in our sins any longer. He delivered us. Our sins were nailed on that cross, and we are free to follow him. For everyone who believes, the gospel is the power of God to save the one that believes it. Lord, we thank you for the good news that Jesus took away our sins and he gave us his life. He made reconciliation. He made an exchange of his life for ours. And now we've been given his life. We behold in the mirror the glory of the Lord and are transformed into that same image. Lord, let your people know the simplicity, the real simplicity of the real gospel. And let them see that what they have manifested is not the ultimate. And we look in the mirror and we see Jesus until we come into that image. And it will be God's work and not ours, because it's our faith in him, not our faith in ourselves. So we thank you for this, our Father. In the name of Jesus, we thank you for this. We ask, O Lord, that you would reach out and touch everyone out there with that desire to consume your word. Consume it until verse lines up with verse and everything fits. And there's no confusion anymore. And they're walking in the pure light, Lord, the light that leads to Christlikeness. For he is the light. Lord, I ask you to encourage your people so that they may reach out and take hold and understand that even as he is, even so are we in this world. As he is, even so are we in this world. We see the end from the beginning. We call the things that be not as though they were, because we walk in the kingdom, and we walk in the Spirit, and we do not walk in the flesh. When we walk by faith, Lord, we walk in the kingdom. We walk in the Spirit. When we walk in the flesh, we don't know how to walk in the Spirit. We don't walk in the kingdom. We walk in the earth. And here is where the beast can crush the people who walk on the earth. Heavenly places is the only place for God's people. And that's, you said, was in Christ. Blessed us with every spiritual blessing in Christ. In heavenly places in Christ. It's the only safe place. Abiding in the rock. It's the only safe place. Lord, bless us to go deep into the rock. Bless us to go through the crucified life in order to abide in the rock. Bless us, O Lord. Bless us mightily by your Spirit, Lord. We ask it in Jesus' name.